Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a road.
Welcome to Devil's Night, otherwise known as the night before Halloween, or the Halloween horror travel that is I-4. It's a little rough out there. Well, you know, it's been just over a week since Hillary had her little thing in front of Congress, which everybody's saying she did such a great job on. But my question is, are the people that she put in harm's way alive yet? Of course not. Is she being held responsible? Of course not. Why? Because we're following the leadership of Barack Hussein Obama, who is now chastising the head of the FBI because he, my gosh, took a different stance on the Ferguson issue than Hussein Obama did. What a shock. It's good to see at least somebody in his administration's got something between their legs. Anyway, as we move on... The debates, let me get Joe for that last one, huh? I'm a little upset because, you know, the debates just did not go exactly as a debate should. The debating people are supposed to be debating each other. They're not supposed to be debating the moderators. The moderators are supposed to be neutral, and in this case, they were anything but. I'll give you somebody else who isn't neutral, but he's on the right side of the page. Your host, Mr. Christopher Hart.
All right. Thank you there, Dr. K. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us today. That's right. It is the eve before All Hallows Eve. So we certainly hope you're preparing for that coming tomorrow night. In the meantime, you got us tonight. And, of course, you can be a part of the show, too. 407-774-8255 is the number as we come to you once again from the spooky... Mercury-free broadcasting studios. That's right. We got spooks and ghosts floating around in here tonight. And you can see them on Periscope because General Paris has it up and running. But in the meantime, we're coming to you from the Mercury-free broadcasting studio. And don't forget, if you want to get mercury-free yourself, all you have to do is call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. He will get that poison out of your head and replace it with something healthy. And you can read all about it in his book, Mercury Free. And as I said, you can see us because we are on, Adversaries TV. That's YouTube. Or actually just go in there today and type in Periscope, and there we will be because the general has us up and running. Do you not there, General?
We are up and running.
We are at Periscope depth, that's or height, however
there
you
want
to see.
However you want to look at it.
That's
Periscope
right.
Depth is the proper term, by the way.
I got you. And but you spell our Periscope, P-A-R-I-S-Cope. And Nick LoCicero is on the bridge tonight. You know, he's recovering from his rider's cramp from last night when we had our bumper sticker contest.
Yeah, that went pretty well, didn't it?
It sure did. We got a lot of great calls, a lot of great responses. And I thought we had... In a prior contest, one of our contestants call in with what turned out to be a bumper sticker phrase, which Mike McBath was using yesterday as an example, which was, liar, liar, pantsuit on fire.
Right.
Well, that actually was Cindy, who had called earlier with that.
Okay.
As I said, in a different contest. Now, she didn't call in yesterday with that. We would have taken it if she would have reminded us. And it would have very likely been one of the top two or three.
I love that one.
And as it is, she's having that made into a bumper sticker.
Oh, good for her.
And she's going to send us some, so we'll be able to give them away on the air.
I
got to give one to Mike, though, so he can plaster it on his car Hillary for prison.
He's got a billboard on his car. I mean, you know.
He'll give it a prominent place, I guarantee you.
I love that Hillary for prison T-shirt. He wears
it's bold and it just jumps right out.
It really does.
By the way, he called me earlier, and you know, a couple of weeks ago we did our Halloween costume contest, and you know, people call in with their suggestions.
Right, with their suggestions, yeah.
Right, and the way to what we were looking for is a personality, a politician or a celebrity, wearing a costume at your party.
Your Halloween party, right.
Had something to do with their life, though.
Yes.
Okay, and the winner was, we actually had a couple of winners. One was Trump coming dressed as King Midas.
Okay.
You know, the Midas touch,
Midas
right?
Midas touch, yep.
And then the other one was Bill Clinton coming dressed as Bill Cosby.
That was brilliant.
Kind of, you know, does the trick, right?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Mike calls me earlier, and he tells me that he saw a real Halloween costume today.
Okay.
That was pretty cool. It would have been a good entry in that contest, too. You had a Hillary Clinton face.
Okay.
And the prison, you know, striped prison outfit, right? So everybody's in the mood for the Halloween.
Well, she could share self-decorating tips with Martha Stewart.
Stewart, that's right.
They're good friends, aren't they?
Sit there and do a little knitting with one another, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. All right. So anyway, we got a lot to talk about tonight. Dr. K is going to be with us all eve.
Oh, yeah.
And a little bit later on, Nancy Luden. Our friend from the Jewish Pavilion is going to stop by,
okay.
And she's going to tell us about an event that they got coming up, a little fall festival type thing.
Hmm.
It's a taste in the park.
Oh, okay.
Those are always a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. It depends on the alcohol volume of the tasting you're doing, too.
I think they get better and better as you go along. I think this is food, but I'm sure they'll have something to wash it down with, right?
That's why I love Oktoberfest. Everybody tries to beat each other with their IPA percentage of volume of alcohol in their beers.
Is that what
it is? Oh, yeah. You start off with like a 4.1 and you go all the way up to 11, you're like, okay.
Yeah. All right. And speaking of food and eating, don't forget our spaghetti eating contest. Antonio.
No, spaghetti.
Did I say that?
You
I'm
said
sorry.
Spaghetti.
Pizza
nope.
eating challenge.
Pizza.
That's right. So is Antonio in on
He's
this?
He's in.
All right.
He's in.
And he was one of our runners up last time.
He took second place last time. And he was sitting right next to David.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were trying to keep up. But, man, that David, he just... I mean, when David stood up a couple of times, we thought he was going to go, you know, and bring stuff up. He was just making room.
Yeah, it was funny. I was watching.
He's just pushing it down a little further.
He'd stand up, kind of do a little dance,
juggle.
And then he'd sit back down and start shuffling.
Yeah.
Shuffling it down. And then he started shoveling it down again. But he's in it again with his uncle this time.
Yeah.
So we plan on having a whole lot of fun, and we hope you folks will come out and join us for that.
Yeah, well, Antonio made a suggestion today. We were having lunch, and he said, you know, if they would have Cafe Positano have sushi, he said, then I'd really kill him.
Oh, boy. Well, they do have a lot of fish dinners there.
He has shut down more sushi restaurants than I can tell you.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that could work.
Cafe Post Italian sushi? I don't know.
We'll stick with the pizza for now.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe next time, lasagna or something.
Oh, yeah, something thick and heavy. There you go.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, man.
All right. Speaking of thick and heavy, they're laying it on thick at the White House.
Are they?
Yeah.
What a shock.
Of course, they're always laying it on thick. Of course, they're happy because the Senate passed that budget deal. 64 to 35, which is 99 votes. I wonder who wasn't there. Do you think it might have been Marco Rubio?
You know, and that's the difference between the Senate and the House. In the House, you can actually send one of your orderlies or one of your interns down to vote for you. In the Senate, you have to be present to vote.
Yourself, exactly.
Yep.
And... But it's passed. It's a done deal. Of course, Obama's just, you know, chomping at the bit to sign
that. Doesn't have a ceiling anymore.
For even a year after he's president.
Yeah.
So that's a done deal. And we're going to have Steve Moore, the economist that we had anticipated. And that was my fault that didn't happen the other day. I actually had the phone number, and I thought he was supposed to call us, but we were supposed to call him. Mm. And so I gave Nick the wrong information, and so it didn't happen. It was all my fault. But he's been gracious enough to laugh it off, and he is going to be back on the show. We're planning on next week. But anyway, we'll talk to him about that budget deal, and because he's combed through all 144 pages of it. So anyway, today I want to talk about a little bit about the debate.
Yep.
Because after the other night and the shellacking the media has been taking from a lot of Republicans who are finally saying, look, why are we acquiescing to these liberal networks with their liberal moderators? Why don't we you know, stand up for something better than that. So the RNC today, taking, I think, a page from, let's see, the newfound friendship between Donald Trump, Ben Carson, Bobby Jindal, and Lindsey Graham.
Wow.
And what I mean by that is that representatives from those four campaigns, and maybe more by now, are going to meet this weekend to talk about making demands on these debates going forward. That these haven't been debates at all.
No, not even close.
Not even close. And all these talking heads and these media types come out saying, well, they never talk about substance or anything. And, of course, none of their questions have anything to do with substance. And even if they did, they don't bring up the substance between the candidates.
No, let's just talk about fantasy football.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, let's talk about the stuff that doesn't really matter. You know.
How can we get the Simpsons to have another year? Let's do something meaningful.
How do we get them to bring back King of the Hill? But anyway, these four campaigns, plus some others probably by now, we're going to get together this weekend to talk about how to change the format going forward. The RNC, following suit, has today announced that they are severing ties with NBC. NBC was scheduled to do a debate in February, I think February the 28th, which would be right before, not too long before Super Tuesday here.
Yeah.
But they have said, no, we've had enough with NBC. So you guys are out. NBC has made an announcement today that, well, we're going to work this out. We shall see.
Yeah. It's the ad money they lose.
Of course.
You know.
This is why I say they're perhaps taking finally the lead from guys like Trump and Carson who say, look, we have the upper hand here. Why don't we exercise the use of it? We are the show. We're the spectacle. We're what they are selling.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't have us, they don't have anything to sell. And they get the such ratings, especially now, of course, with the power of Trump and Carson. They're negotiating, obviously, position is much greater, but it's still the same position they've had all along.
Yeah. And the moderators seem to be jockeying for their next position within their organization, higher up. They're trying to pad their resume. They're trying to look intelligent, and they end up looking like idiots.
Of course. But see, that's to us. But and I mentioned this on the show yesterday. To them, to each other, though, these are badges of honor. These are the remarkable things that move your career up, not out.
Yeah. Well, let's just keep in mind that there's a reason why the media is as biased as they are. The writers are not as smart as they think they are. Otherwise, why would the Orlando Sentinel be written on a seventh grade level? And some of the reporters can't handle that.
Well, see, that's what they think about us.
Mm.
They think that we can't think, read, or participate or, you know, have any sort of cognitive process above a seventh grade level.
I only get the Orlando Sentinel on Thursdays and on Sundays. Right. And the reason being is, you know, I can't correct that many papers at one time. There's at least 8 grammatical errors on the front page.
That
every
is
day.
From a UCF prof.
Yeah.
All right. So that's Dr. Ken Vieck. All right. We'll be back with more after this short break.
They're kooky, mysterious and spooky. They're all together ooky, the Addams Family. Their house is a museum. When people come to see them, they really are a scream, the Addams Family.
Neat. Sweet. Petite.
You know this is my family motto.
Oh, is that right?
It's our family theme song. Because my mother's maiden name is Adam. Adams. It was shortened from Adam Anski.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, Adams is what it is. So whenever we get together for family reunion, this is our opening song.
Some buddies of mine, let it keep playing there, Nick. Some buddies of mine are doing a party this weekend with an Addams Family theme.
Oh, that's so cool.
So they're encouraging people to come as characters from the Addams Family.
Oh, man. Yeah. I was the cousin It one year.
Were you?
Yeah, it's the only time in my life I had hair on my head.
And everywhere else,
I'll
right?
I'll tell you, it's all over, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, as you get older, you get it everywhere else, but not on
your head.
All right, so hopefully you folks are going to have a safe and happy Halloween. All right, so 407-774-8255 is the number. And as we were talking before the break there, the Republicans are finally showing a little spine, and I think it's thanks to guys like, and it was Ben Carson who started this this little gathering this weekend. And of course, Trump jumped right on, and Jindal and Graham have jumped in too, and they're going to demand changes in the format,
sure,
and perhaps changes in the moderators. And as I said earlier, has been all over the news today. The RNC has announced that they're not going to have the debate in February that was scheduled to NBC. By the way, the next one coming up. A week from Tuesday is going to be a Fox News debate, and the moderator and the only one announced so far that I know. I don't know if they're going to slip in five more like they did the other day, but Maria Bartiromo, who is she's actually a pretty good interviewer. I've seen her do a number of interviews, and she's pretty straightforward, pretty straight laced.
Yeah, she came over from was it CNBC?
Right.
And she did a financial show, which
correct.
She was really good at. She started off on the floor of the stock exchange doing beat reports, and then moved up into her own show, and now has moved on to her other show.
Yeah. And as actually, she was working the floor of the exchange the morning of 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe she got dusted up.
Yeah.
You remember how people got the dust and everything? So. So, and especially with what's happened with NBC, the next one promises to be a little bit more serious debate.
Oh, yeah.
And I heard Ted Cruz today, and I believe it was on Gallagher. But anyway, I heard him, and I thought he had an excellent idea. And that is, look, and he alluded to this the other night when he said, you know, I bet there's not one of you or there's nobody in the media who's going to be voting in a Republican primary.
Of you, yeah.
And he didn't follow through with that thought, but he has today. The follow-through is, so why are any of you moderating a Republican primary debate? Okay, this is not for the general election. This is not for liberals. This is for Republicans.
Right.
And we're the ones who are making this choice, so it should be our moderators conducting the questioning.
Right.
And you guys will have your chance in the general election.
Yeah.
And so he said the moderators should be Republicans. You know, it's from the media.
Sure.
And he named some guys I never heard of.
Didn't mention your name. I was a little upset about that.
I noticed.
You should be getting a call.
And I know I'd do a better job than at least one of those guys.
Oh, God.
But the idea is a great one, and that's what they should demand in these negotiations.
Well, I would agree with that.
Take these liberals and tell them that they can just wait.
Yeah, because these are primaries, and usually only the Republicans that are people that are registered Republican can vote Republican
correct.
Or Democrat. In some states, independents
it's
can.
Open. It's open, right.
Yeah, in some states. Man, that's fine. But in the majority,
still,
the
it's
overall,
to choose the Republican nominee.
Exactly. So you want to know what their line of thinking is compared to where you're at.
Exactly.
And you're not going to get that if you're getting, hey, should we legalize, you know, fantasy football?
Yeah.
Or should the government control it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you want, more government intervention.
Well, you know, should if the question had been posed along with other serious questions, I can see it. Because it is a question of, and Jeb kind of began in his own fumbling, stumbling sort of way to answer it. Really, the essence of the question is, should government get involved in every little thing?
Yeah.
And is this an every little thing? And so it is worthy of serious debate, but in that format, in that setting, and given what happened before and after, it was a bizarre question.
But I think, you know, Chris Christie said it the best. So we've got ISIS cutting people's heads off. We've got economic issues. And you want to know about fantasy football?
That's why I say if it had been posed along with other serious questions.
Yeah.
You see, it could have been, you know, but given...
Was there a serious question asked?
Not that I know of. I mean...
You know, I don't know how many times you watched it.
The ones that were halfway serious came from Jim Cramer and Rick Santelli.
Yes.
And how many they get to ask total? Three?
Yeah, and they're concerned about what's going to happen to our money.
Exactly, the Fed and that stuff.
And those two guys are really brilliant when it comes to that.
And see, that's another complaint that the RNC expressed today. That's what the whole debate was supposed to be about. It was supposed to be an economic issues policy debate.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hardly anything but that. But like I said, in the topsy-turvy world of liberals, and especially the liberals in the media, this was to them, to get taken down as we see it by the people on the stage means actually you've done your job. You've gotten under their skin. You asked them a question they can't answer.
You made them look bad. Good job.
Yeah, and the only thing they could resort to was insulting you. So here's a pat on your back.
Yeah,
you know, and this is why I say, really, at the end of the day, you know, I don't blame Democrats for being Democrats. I don't blame liberals for being liberals, because that's what they're supposed, that's what they were born to be.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's kind of like, do you see the glass half full or half empty? You know, whichever way you are, that's the way you are.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But when it comes to the media, they're not supposed to be playing that game.
No, they are not.
But at the end of the day, are we maybe the ones making the mistake to even think that anybody could? You follow what I'm trying to say here?
Edward R. Murrow did a really nice job of setting the standard that they all went away from.
Well, that's true. That's very true.
But they're quick to invoke him. Oh, I received the Edward R. Murrow Award.
Yeah.
Well, for what?
Well, I'm perhaps at one time there was the ability for journalists to really be good journalists.
Yeah.
That's gone.
No, that's
perhaps it could be reclaimed in the future.
Yeah.
But this is not necessarily new in our country.
No.
If you look back at the Founding Fathers' days, they used the media also in a very partisan way,
mm-hmm.
right? It wasn't TV, it was newspapers.
The
newspapers were started as outlets for political positions.
Yep,
they
were
political position papers.
Yeah. And if you looked at the moderators, the only one close to the right would have been Rick Santelli.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he's the only one that's close to anywhere.
Welcome back to the American Adversaries. Prime Time Drive Time Show. Coming to you dead on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. Dead Man Walking.
The Undertaker theme, I just love that. I got a guitar at home, and every now and then I'll pick it up and pick that with my...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. All right, 407-774-8255 is the number. Thanks for being with us tonight, this eve before All Hallows Eve.
Yes, the fun night for children.
Indeed. All right, so we've been talking about the debate and debate moderators. Oh, I see Al dropped off the line. If you can get back through to us, give us a call. He may have had to run back to work. Anyway, the RNC and several of the campaigns, including Trump, Carson, Jindal, and Graham, have teamed up to say we're going to do something different going forward here. Now, the next debate, as I said, Al's back. Let's not keep him waiting any longer. Al, thank you for calling. Appreciate you getting back with us.
Yes, sir. I kind of liked it that we have Democrats interviewing or being moderators at these debates, because it gave us a different perspective on how these candidates react to the questions and so forth. I mean, if you're independent, I think that's what you'd want.
Well, you know, you got a point that you would want to have people with different perspectives doing some questioning. I think Cruz's point is that there's a place for that in the general election,
yes,
not in the primary.
Right.
It does complicate it a little bit. And I think Al's question does have some validity in the sense that, and you mentioned this earlier, that there are some states that are open primaries.
Some.
But nonetheless, Al, it is a question of who is going to be the Republican nominee. So it should be a decision primarily made by people of like mind, if you will. And then at the end of the day, in the general election, they're going to have to worry about selling themselves to the Democrats and independents. independents, yeah, and the or only, vice versa.
Yeah, the only advantage I see to having Democratic moderators at this point in time is to solidify the Republican base to say, geez, this is why we want to vote Republican.
Yeah, but the problem is, and the problem is that these are gotcha-type questions which are leading to, or presumed to be leading to, if you will, fodder for the general election. In other words, they're probing for weak points. Do you understand what I'm saying here, Al?
But that's not a bad thing. That's actually a good thing. I think the more exposure the average voter has, the better.
But what does it accomplish? As far as informing the public on what they're going to be voting on?
Yeah, see, what we're with the problem we have is that the tack that these moderators have taken, and this is one solution. This was Cruz's solution. I think it's a pretty good one, but to be honest with you, Al, I think there's validity in what you're saying, because what Al is expressing is here, you know, the adversarial form of government is what we got, and that's what makes it work.
Yeah,
being adversaries.
But as Republicans, we're in the adversarial environment 365 days a year. Can't we have at least one, two, or three, or four debates where we actually have a favorable environment?
Al?
But you have Fox News for that. I mean,
give me a break.
You know, that turned into an adversarial.
Please give me a break.
Well, yeah, but it was adversarial in the same way that it was adversarial the other night. It was not adversarial in the sense that they were arguing over meaty issues. Like, Al, I bet you, and I'm presuming you watched the debate, but even if you didn't, I doubt that you could tell if you saw the debate. You couldn't tell me how, for instance, Mike Huckabee's opinion on abortion differs from Ben Carson's, or if they're the same. You couldn't tell me how Rand Paul, what his opinions on the legalization of drugs, how that differs from all the rest of them. This is what we're longing for.
Yep.
We want to know what each candidate thinks about a particular issue so that we can say, okay, we agree with him, we don't agree with him, and on down the line. And that's not been what's happening.
Yeah, and the interviewer bias that comes through on those questions, and it really shows that the moderators have a loathing for the candidates, and that's what comes through. If they were able to be impartial and ask intelligent questions, then it would be a different story. But up to this point in time, that has not been the case. So you want to get somebody in there that's going to ask, you know, good questions without any type of interviewer bias to try to get to the meat of the issues, to find out where these candidates stand on whatever issues are relevant, not fantasy football.
Yeah.
I know, but here's the thing. Just one last thing here.
Yeah.
If we're to try to differentiate between the candidates, we can go to their, website or whatever. I think the TV debates are specifically made so that way we can see them squirm at the hard questions,
But they haven't asked any hard questions.
How they handle different situations.
There haven't been any hard questions for these candidates to ask. They've all been insulting questions. They've been unintelligent questions. There hasn't been one that has had any depth to it to where you could judge a candidate properly on.
Well,
and I would also like to say, well, if it's okay for the Republican candidates to have Democratic moderators, well, let's get some Republican moderators to do the next Democratic debate.
How about that, Al?
Let's do it.
All right, man. You with us. I agree with mostly. I agree with you, Al, mostly. I really do. Because the process is about seeing them squirm. We'd like to see them squirm over the issues but there is a place for, these gotcha questions, but not only gotcha questions.
Mr. Trump, when did you stop beating your wife?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's just not good. There's no good answer to that question.
Oh, yeah, there is. Which one?
Yeah. Okay.
Al, God bless you. You have a great weekend. Thanks. I appreciate it. And I like Al. He's thinking, he's got that noodle working.
Yeah, but, he's coming at us with that liberal bias that, it's all okay.
But in this case, he does. There is some validity to his argument. You can't deny it.
There's absolutely no validity to his argument because they're not asking intelligent questions. And I'm sorry, Al, but you're wrong on this one.
All right. Let's go to Tim, see what he thinks. Tim, thanks for being out there.
Well, Doctor, you took my line. There are no Republicans that'll be on the Democratic debate. In fact, the Democratic debate most of them are going to be held now on Saturday nights when nobody else will watch.
Yeah.
Okay. They want as little as possible, and no Democratic debate will be on Fox News.
Oh, of course not. Yeah. Yeah.
So it is totally, totally one-sided to destroy Republicans in any debate that they have, and even with some of these half-liberal Fox people. So it's just, it doesn't make any sense. They got enough money amongst them, they could put on their own debate. They don't need NBC, CBS, anybody.
Yeah.
CNN. They don't need Fox. They don't need anybody.
Well, you're right about that. But I think also you make an excellent point in the sense that what's fair for one side should be fair for the other. In other words,
Absolutely. If
we're going to subject our candidates to these inquisitions by a bunch of liberal hacks, they should expose their candidates to an inquisition by a bunch of conservative hacks like me.
So I am just so excited that they came together.
Right.
They're going to fight this thing. They're going to change history on the way debates are done.
Yeah.
And when you get into these primary debates, there are some questions that don't need to be answered yet. If you want to know everybody's single tax plan, what if the one guy's got a great tax plan, but he doesn't want to tell people about it until he's in the regular in the runoffs.
Well, that
you know
would
what
be,
I'm saying?
Yeah, but that would be, you know, his argument to make. But the part of the point that what Alice was making, and this is where I see some validity in it,
okay,
is that you want to see how these guys react under pressure. And
granted.
So you want to apply the things that will make them feel the pressure up on that stage.
Okay, so if I were a moderator on the Democratic debate, and I said to Hillary, if I said, well, now that you have admitted that it wasn't the video that sparked the uprising in Benghazi, and it actually was an al-Qaeda-like terrorist attack, if you get elected president, will you pardon the guy who made the video that is still in jail?
Yeah. But
you see, that
would be
us,
fair, wouldn't it?
I would think so.
That would make her squirm a little bit, don't you think?
It would indeed.
Yeah, but they never let me ask that question.
And from Al's perspective, that's why he's looking at these Republican candidates. He wants to see them squirm.
But
and
Al
we
probably
see,
just cried foul.
And what we want to see their candidates squirm, too. And we get mad when they aren't made to squirm. You
right.
see, this is...
They're
this
not
is,
getting asked the same questions. They're not getting the same treatment.
Right.
They're getting softball serves to them.
And that was part of the complaint the other night from the debate
but,
stage,
but according
too.
To the Democrats, that's okay. Because they're the nice people.
Well, see, the way they see it is the Republicans are the bad guys, so they're the ones that have to be scrutinized more, you know, toughly. And
Hillary came out the very next day after that hearing and said it was the video. Okay? So it doesn't matter to them. They just lie, and their people believe them.
Oh yeah. She kind of prevaricated the day of at the hearing. She said, oh, no, it was what she called it, the fog of war and all that business. You know, we really didn't know what was happening and the CIA's talking points and blah, da, 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 da.
And I thought the guy that did the video was in jail for a tax evasion.
I forget. No, I think it was a probation violation or something, which may have been that originally. I don't know.
Right.
But yeah,
Still, is she going to pardon him anyway for using him as a scapegoat?
Well, and the point is, the reason why he was put in jail, I believe, is because of the video.
Yeah.
And don't we have free speech in this country, right?
Apparently not.
And by the way, I saw the video. And it was about 3 minutes long.
Yeah.
It's crudely done, but there is nothing that is inaccurate in it. I'm here to tell you, it is accurate. And this is why they locked him up.
Yep. Oops, sorry.
Yeah.
Can't be truthful.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
All right.
So,
Rachel, talk to you later.
All right, Tim. Thanks for calling, buddy.
2 weeks from, you know, right now we would be just about hitting open sea.
There you go. That's right.
Open seas, open bar. Yep. Count me in.
About the same time. Yes, sir. All right. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate you. See you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Okay. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to AM 660, 105.5 FM, the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. We are reliving my childhood with all these flashback songs, and I'm having such a great time in here. The Munsters, the Addams Family, yeah. I don't know, throw in some banana splits and we'll have a great day.
There you go. All right, welcome back. As Dr. K said, that is Dr. Ken V. Heck. I'm Christopher Hart, and Dr. K brought his better half with him again today. That'd be Dr. Bernadette V. Heck. And we also now have in the studio with us Nancy Luden, our good friend from the Jewish Pavilion. Nancy, thanks for being with us again.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
And so are we, because you always bring such great stuff for us. You bought some great bread for us today.
Some challah bread.
The challah is from Ben's Bakery in Altamont Springs, and he always supplies us with wonderful goodies.
Oh, I tell you what, we are so appreciative that you brought that by. And you've got something special coming up. It's fall. Are you doing your walk in the park? What's going on this year?
We're not having the walk in the park this year because Crane's Roost is undergoing renovations.
I know it, yeah.
So we're going to have another festival instead called A Taste in the Park. It will be at the Maitland Civic Center, which has a fancy name, Venue on the Lake. It'll be on Sunday, November 8th at noon. And we hope that the community will come out for fabulous food, entertainment, children's activities, lots of prizes. It's going to be a fantastic event.
And the weather should be perfect. You know, it's that time of year. And the food should be delicious, right?
We have a lot of great restaurants coming. We have caterers like Arthur's Catering, Food Glorious Food, Puffin Stuff, Magic Occasions, John and Shirley's Catering, Brio, First Watch, Bagel King, Panera Bread, and a lot more.
Wow, this is some great restaurants in there. And this is going to be on the lake, right?
It's going to be right next to the lake at the Maitland Civic Center. We'll be both indoors and outdoors.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, really nice place. I've actually been to a wedding inside the Maitland Civic Center. Really nice place.
We can make it really beautiful, and we're going to that day.
Oh, great.
And is this free?
The event is $15 a person or $40 a family if you register in advance. So you better do it soon because it's a few dollars more if you do it at the door.
And how do they register?
You can visit www.jewishpavilion.org to register, or you can call the office 407-678-9363.
Okay, and we'll give that information out a few more times during the show. That's Jewish Pavilion, that's with one L, jewishpavilion.org, 407-678-9363. And it sounds like a lot of fun, and she's handed us a little flyer here, and boy, these wraps on the cover here, those look delicious. Who are those from, do you know?
Well, we try to have a lot of very delicious vegetarian food for the festival, and we're looking forward to a very great crowd. We want to thank some of our sponsors, the Better Business Bureau of Central Florida, Carol Stein and Jane Edelstein, who are naming the festival in memory of their parents, the Heritage Florida Jewish News, and many others who have been very, very generous with their gifts to the Jewish Pavilion. The proceeds help our elderly in nursing homes and assisted living facilities in Orange and Seminole counties.
So tell us a little bit about the work you do there.
Well, Orlando doesn't have a Jewish nursing home, so what we do is we go to every facility in town that has at least one Jewish resident and make sure that the resident is visited on a regular basis. We also provide holiday parties for people in the building of all faiths to make things extra special for them. We have ice cream socials. We bring the children from the Jewish Academy and from the Jewish Community Center all to entertain the seniors.
Yeah, very nice.
It's a fantastic organization. And if someone who has a family member who has just entered or may be soon entering one of these facilities, how can they get a hold of you? Same place?
They can call 407-678-9363 and let us know that their family member is there. We try to do a monthly census of each building, but things change from time to time, so it's always good to know about someone specifically who needs to be visited. And we go out of our way to make sure that we do visit them and provide the love and care that they really need. Most people in older communities are alone a good portion of the day, and it's really important to us that they get that visitation.
Well, one recently, we were at last month, actually, September, the Jewish holidays that occur in September, we were at a restaurant, and there was this elderly Jewish lady who was sitting there by herself at a table. We were across the aisle from her, and she heard us order matzo ball soup, and she comes over and she goes, are you celebrating the holiday? Are you Jewish? And I went, yeah, come on in, sit down.
Oh, that's so nice.
About 2% from my great-great-grandmother's side, you know, thousands, hundreds of years ago. But you know,
we're all Jewish.
We're all Jewish at some point in time. Let's sit down. Let's break bread. Let's have a nice evening.
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up because that's actually the most important thing we do of all is the food. They love the food. They go nuts. You know, the buildings in Central Florida don't know how to prepare Jewish foods, but we send them recipes before every holiday. Mm-hmm. And they do a really good job as a result. In fact, my favorite chef is Nathan Shiflett at Horizon Bay. He has learned to cook every Jewish food imaginable. It's unbelievable. He came from a family that liked to cook, and it was a family that had done some cooking that was similar to Jewish cooking, and he's really taken it on. So we do have matzo ball soup now in all the buildings. We do have brisket for the holidays. These were things that did not happen before the Jewish Pavilion. And in fact, the most amazing thing is they didn't even have matzah for Passover until we got involved.
How could you not have matzah for Passover? That's a staple.
So come on out on Sunday. That's a week from this Sunday. That's the 8th. 12 to 3 p.m. Maitland Civic Center, $15 per person or $40 per family. If you get them in advance, and you can go to jewishpavilion.org or call 407-678-9363. I want to take a phone call because he's been holding for us. Al, thank you for being with us.
Hey, what's going on, guys? God bless. What's up, Doc?
Hey, Al, how are you doing, buddy?
All good, brother. Thanks. I just wanted to touch base. I mean, one of my thoughts on the moderators, the more that I listen to the debate, the more I realize how much of a disconnect there really is between people that call themselves liberals or whatever and reality, you know? It seems as if there's like when I heard the other brother call in and said, yeah, sure, you know, it should be, you know, the adversarial type of government like Chris said. Okay, I get that. But the kinds of questions that they're asking, and then to have somebody call in and defend questions like, well, you know, you said that you wouldn't insult anyone. Can you insult two people on this stage? Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, you have to draw the line, and certainly those bozos. And yeah, I was disappointed with CNBC because I do watch them fairly regularly on the mornings, and that was mostly the morning crew that was there. Becky Quick is she's a big part of what they call the Squawk Box.
Oh yeah,
six to nine a.m. Yeah. every morning, along with Joe Kernan. Joe Kernan was the one who should have been asking the questions.
Yes. Yeah,
Joe Kernan is the conservative who's on CNBC in the mornings, and he would have been a perfect moderator for it, but he was nowhere in sight.
Like I said, Rick Santelli was as close as you get to somebody leaning towards the right.
How about the fact that they had the greatest rating ever
for that
CNBC?
The greatest viewership ever
on that night.
Well, that's why it's going to hurt. NBC's feeling a little pain this evening, right? It's one show on one night, but nonetheless, they were counting on some pretty good ratings.
Well, it's like Trump had said, what are they're charging $25,000 to $35,000 per 30-second spot. $225,000 for a spot.
And they wouldn't have been able to get a fifth of that.
Not even close.
Were it not for them. You hit them where it hurts, and that's what they're doing. All right. Thanks, Al. Appreciate your call. Once again, come on out a week from Sunday to the Maitland Civic Center and help us help out the Jewish Pavilion. They do great things for our community that benefits people in our elderly care centers of all faiths. So help us out. We'll be right back.
It's All Hallows Eve, the night before Halloween. You're listening to The American Adversaries. I'm Dr. Ken Vihek. Sitting across from me is Christopher Hart, your host for the show. And we are just tickled pink to be here on this wild and crazy night. We're just enjoying ourselves. We got Nancy London in here. She's now talking about the Jewish Pavilion and the big festival they're going to have. Got Periscope up and running. Paris sitting over there doing good. So you can check us out
on the video cam on YouTube. And, of course, got my lovely Dr. Bernadette sitting here to my right. So it's going to be a great night.
All you got to do is give us a call at 407-774-8255. And real quick, General Paris, tell them how they can see us easily on the Periscope and see our archive there as well.
You want to come to Periscope Depth with us?
Hold on. Can you?
My mic not on?
There you go. There you go. There you go. That's better.
All right. To reach Periscope Depth, go to YouTube, type in Adversaries TV. The newest video will be at the top of the channel. The rest of the older ones are in descending order from there. Or you can just type in Periscope. That's P-A-R-I-S. Cope. You'll find us.
And Lucas Paris is a pro wrestling aficionado.
I'm reading up on Carlos Colon right now because I just love reading about these guys.
And well, you'll appreciate this. And Nostradamus was able to conjure this out of a fellow that we might recognize. Nick, can you play that for us real quick, please?
How about them Mets?
General Paris?
That was Rowdy Roddy Piper. And God, do I miss that man. Great on the mic, great in ring.
Yeah.
One of the best.
He was just a pleasure to watch all the time. You never knew what turn he was going to take, either inside the ring or outside the ring. And any guy that wears a kilt 24/7, you got to love.
Yeah, that's from a guy who wears a kilt, folks.
I was like, hey, you know.
Once
a year, it's, you know,
by the
Scottish
way, that
games.
Was Rowdy Roddy Piper,
yep.
Who unfortunately just passed away just 6 or 8 weeks ago, it seems.
Yeah.
And that was in 1986.
Yep.
When the Mets were indeed down 0-2 in a World Series.
Yep.
And in all due respect to Nick Lissicero in there, maybe I shouldn't say who they were down.
Yeah, well.
Tell him, Nick.
It was the first World Series I remember. I was a Red Sox fan and had misery from the start there. But then, I guess 20 years later, we got redeemed.
Yeah,
he finally lifted the Ruth curse.
Finally.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was devastating. That was imprinted in my brain in 1986. Buckner, everything. That was the first World Series I remember as a kid.
So Rowdy says, buck it up there, all you Mets
That's right.
fans.
You're down, down two, but you're at home now.
If they did it against a great team like the Red Sox, they could do it against the Royals.
Yeah, the Royals seem to be on a roll right now, but you know what? They had to go to New York, and things change in the Big Apple.
Indeed, they do.
It's just the vortex that is the Big Apple.
Yeah, so
it's amazing.
Are you pulling for the Royals there, Nick? You harboring any hard feelings?
I'm pulling for the Mets. I think if the Red Sox haven't won three World Series in the past, 15 years, I guess I would pull for the Royals. But I'm actually pulling Mets. I thought they were going to do it in five games. I thought they were going to do... They have some excellent pitching there.
Well, I said I wasn't going to do it, but let's play that one more time. That was fun.
Oh, thanks, Chris.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, he took it down already.
Yeah, so. I tried to destroy it.
This is Rowdy Piper.
Just so you have it further ingrained in your brain there, Nick.
Yeah, that's right.
How about them Mets? Wait a second! Because they're down two games, this is your home team! Have a little guts in there!
I'm 8 months old.
Hey, all you Republicans out there. So we lost a couple of presidential elections. All right, we have Nancy Ludin in the studio with us, and of course she is with the Jewish Pavilion. And we've had her in on a number of occasions, and it's always a pleasure to have her come to the studios. Yeah. And they've got a Taste in the Park coming up a week from Sunday. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now, is there room for more food vendors? Should somebody else want to get in on this stuff?
There is room, but they'd have to get to us very, very quickly.
Okay, because it is a week from Sunday, so they obviously need to get, you know, everything organized, all the tables and everything that will be out there.
Our coordinator would say there's no room, but I always say we find a way.
But what about for regular vendors, if somebody wanted to sell old trinkets and baubles and things like that?
We need it immediately. If somebody wants to do it, they need to send it in instantly.
Okay.
Okay, and that's you go to jewishpavilion.org or better call 407-678-9363. And to get tickets in advance, same, 407-678-9363 or jewishpavilion.org. And in advance, they're 15 per person, 40 for a family of four. And at the door will be 20 and 50. So it definitely will make a difference. And this is from 12 to 3, and obviously you want people to bring kids out and stuff like that too, right?
The event's going to be very kid-friendly. There'll be children's activities, face painting, lots of things for children. Orlando City Soccer will be there. They'll have cupcake decorating from Ooga Ooga Cake. It's going to be a really, really fun day for kids. They're going to have a blast. And actually, their favorite activity of all is something you wouldn't think would be on the agenda. We have vendor cards that get stamped, and the children seem to love to go from one booth to another and get their cards stamped.
Yes. Oh, awesome.
And when they have a stamped card, they get prizes. So believe it or not, of all the things we have for kids, they like that the best.
That's nice. We did the same thing at the Repertory Theater. We had little stations set up. We had Ooga Ooga come in. They love making their own cupcakes and designs and stuff like that. It's a big hit. Yeah, it's a lot of fun when they do that.
It's a wonderful festival for children, a great intergenerational festival for families to be involved with, wonderful food. The entertainment will be excellent. The Jewish Academy children are singing, and they are so adorable. They couldn't be cuter.
And, of course, it's a perfect time, you know, for a food fest, because it'll be lunchtime, right?
Absolutely.
There you go.
Sunday afternoon lunchtime.
They'll love it. And if they like the walk, they can take a walk around Lake Lily during the festival or after the festival. So if you're a family that likes to walk, you're right next to a lovely lake.
Well, there'll be plenty of parking, too, over there, right?
There'll be plenty of parking because we're going to be using all the lots in the area, and the vendors are going to park far away. So those that are coming to the festival should get the best parking.
Excellent.
And once again, the Jewish Pavilion is a great organization. How long has the Jewish Pavilion been around?
The Jewish Pavilion was formed in 2001, so we've been around for about 14 years, trying to make the community as good as we can for seniors in long-term care.
And, of course, if you would like to make a donation at any time to the Jewish Pavilion, it's easy to do. Just go to jewishpavilion.org or call them at 407-678-9363. So, once again, it'd be a great afternoon for this type of event, and with the kids and everything, be a really nice way to have a great lunch, reasonably priced, and help out a great organization in the process. Do you ever look for volunteers?
We're always looking for volunteers to visit the seniors, and if you like to visit one-on-one, that's the absolute best thing you can do for a senior. But if you don't feel comfortable doing that, you can help with our holiday parties or help in the office. There's always a way that you can share your love with the seniors.
Are there any age restrictions? I mean, obviously, there has to be a youth age restriction, but can high school kids volunteer?
Actually, high school kids can volunteer, and even youth can volunteer. We have volunteers as young as one, but they go with their parents.
Is that so right? Yeah. Well, I take that back.
See? Well, and a lot of nice things about that is that the high school children who have to get their 75 hours of community service can volunteer and
get
it this way.
They can even volunteer to work at the walk, and I'll sign their community service hours. So if you show up at the walk and you want to help as a volunteer, I'll sign your form for you, and that will give you some of those hours that you need for college.
See that? Wonderful.
Dr. Kay,
yes.
How much difference does it make? You know, you're a psychologist for mm-hmm. someone in an environment like a nursing home to get outside visitors, not just see the medical staff every day.
It's huge. It brightens their day. It probably, in some instances, might make their week because some of them actually sit there with no one coming to visit them. And it's one of the hardest things to when you go to visit a nursing home, you walk past a room and they tell you, oh, nobody ever comes to visit that person.
It was,
you know,
so
the staff
sad.
Knows.
When I was at Life Care last week, I ran into a woman. I talked to one of my friends who has dementia. And I said to her, I'll be back next week. And she said, then I'll just sit here and wait for you. Those yeah. were her words. And the saddest thing about it is that she was correct. Even with dementia, she's absolutely right. She has nothing to look forward till the next time I come.
Yeah.
So I'll sit here and wait for you for a whole week.
Now, I don't go around quoting liberals a lot, as you probably well know. Okay, but there is one saying that Maya Angelou put together that applies to people in nursing homes and people who have dementia, because it's so appropriate. She said that people will forget what you say. They will forget what you do, but they will always remember how you made them feel. And even people with dementia, when they see you, if you brought joy to their life, they'll get a smile. They may not remember why, but they'll associate how you made them feel and smile.
They definitely do, and they light up when you walk in the room. It's unbelievable how much response you get from someone, even a person who's not communicative. They know you're there. They know you care. And they can definitely tell that your presence makes a difference, and you can feel it too.
Yeah. It's very rewarding for the person who goes as well. So it's not just a one-sided, for the recipient. You get a really great feeling of what you've been able to accomplish for another human being.
Yeah, well, and there's always the golden rule too, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
There's a great many of us are going to end up in that situation.
Yeah.
And so we want to sort of make sure we don't get left out. But that's not really what it's all about. It's all about helping the people who are there now and helping the Jewish Pavilion who helps those people and people who will be going in. So,
and you get to hear some of the greatest stories.
Oh, yeah.
You really do.
Yeah, and the people you will meet. Mm-hmm. 407-678-9363, jewishpavilion.org. That's Pavilion with one L. And the tickets are on sale now. And if you want to be involved as a food vendor or a sponsor for this event, which is 1 week from Sunday, A Taste in the Park, you need to get on the stick and get it done tonight or first thing Monday morning, because they are putting the final touches on this event. It's going to be a great event, a lot of great food. It's going to be hard to stay away from that.
Big time.
I'll tell you what.
We'll be eating before we go on the cruise.
That's right. We'll be right back.
My eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise, he did the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. It caught on in a flash. He did the monster mash.
I love the singer of that song. He's impersonating Boris Karloff, can't help but love it.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. Just having a little All Hallows Eve fun here tonight. And if you'd like to be a part of the show, the phone number is still the same, even though we are in the crypt tonight. 407-774-8255. All right. Once again, come on out and join us at the Taste of, in the Park, and that's going to be a great event, great organization, and it's cool to help out things like that. All right, I'm going to get back into a little bit of politics type news here. Thank you, folks, for being with us. That's right, we're coming to you from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Don't forget, for the very best in Mercury Free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. Don't forget to ask him about his great book, Mercury Free. We were talking earlier about the debate and the debate format and the moderators. We shall see. I think a lot of it, though, has to do with the format. We've been talking about the moderators, but the format could use a whole lot of improvement, too. And we shall see what comes out of the next week or so. As I said, the campaigns for Trump, Carson, Bobby Jindal, and Lindsey Graham are getting together this weekend, and perhaps by now other campaigns as well, to make, shall we say, demands on the debate committee or whoever makes the decisions on the format.
Yeah, reading the RNC, the Riot Act, basically, and say, look, you got to start getting these people to toe the line, and so we can accomplish something here.
Exactly.
And eventually, it's going to get into where you can actually have a manageable debate. Because having 10 or 12 people on a dais and trying to debate is really kind of ludicrous.
It is. And it wouldn't matter how much time you have there.
They should call these things like infomercials for the candidates or something other than a debate, because they're not debates.
Yeah. Way back before they even started debates, I think Michael Medved had a great idea in terms of that. And that would be that you would have like two or three groups. You know, back then we had, what, 16, 17 candidates, so you'd have five or six in each group.
Right.
And it could be randomly chosen, and or you could do it by polls, however you want to do it, but you reduce the size of the groups.
Right.
And that way you actually get perhaps some more substantive debate. But we'll see what comes out of this renegotiating, if you will. In the meantime... Jeb, there's a, I guess there's talking papers or a plan or whatever that's been revealed from the Jeb Bush campaign, as to what their plans are going forward. They, want to try to hold out through Iowa and New Hampshire and make his comeback in the South, in particular here in Florida. And obviously if Jeb Bush, and I think Marco Rubio too, if either one of them loses the state of Florida, and obviously one of them is going to, their campaign is over. If you can't win your own home state, what good are you, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
And so the Jeb campaign is talking about going negative on Marco Rubio and actually bringing up the Jim Greer scandal. Do you remember Jim Greer?
I remember Jim.
Yeah.
And Jacksonville Republican.
Yeah, who went to prison.
He was, he was such a scum when he was in.
Yeah, yeah.
He really was.
I
don't think he changed since he got out. But
I believe Charlie Crist is the one who made him the head of the Republican Party of Florida back at the time. And at the time, Marco Rubio was in the Florida House. I think he was Speaker. And he and a lot of other people got, shall we say, a little stained by the Jim Greer affair. Jim Greer was basically stealing money from the Republican Party. They had these credit cards where they would go out and buy a bunch of stuff, spend a bunch of stuff, traveling, having a lot of, you know, grand old time, going to golf courses and all doing all this stuff. And Jim Greer, as a matter of fact, Jim Greer has written a book about it. I haven't read the book, but Jim Greer ended up being the fall guy who went to prison.
Yep.
But as it turns out, a lot of them were kind of in on it. Now, how much Marco Rubio knew, he certainly had one of these credit cards. He certainly used it, and he certainly ended up paying some money back.
Yep.
Be prepared that that is going to be made an issue. And in a way, I hate to say it, but in a way, Jeb Bush bringing that up is kind of doing Marco a favor.
Yeah.
Because the Democrats are waiting to pounce on this.
Oh, without a doubt.
I guarantee you. So this will give Marco an opportunity to, shall we say, put the issue to rest or at least prepare his defense for when the Democrats come at him on this, should he make it that far in the campaign. And to get back to Al's call earlier, this is kind of part of the primary process, and Republicans haven't been so very good at this, and that is to weed out candidates who have, shall we say, big vulnerabilities. And this perhaps is, perhaps it's not. My recollection is that Marco didn't use his card very much, that he thought it was just a part of, for lack of a better word, the perks of the job.
Right.
And that when he found out what was going on, he got rid of it and he paid back what he had done on it.
And that's one of those things that they get you when you're new.
Yeah, exactly.
And they say, oh, by the way, since you're now in this position, this is what your predecessor had. So here, you take this and use it as you see fit, whatever it is you want.
Yeah.
And then after you ranked up X amount of dollars, they go, oh, by the way.
Yeah, right.
We've got something coming up in the House we want you to vote such a way on.
Exactly.
You know, and it's the... You know, the little hook that's inside that bait, it depends on how deep you swallow it.
Yeah.
Depends on how deeply it becomes anchored.
Yeah.
And apparently Marco didn't bite too hard on it, and he was able to go, oh, whoa, 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 whoa.
Kind of spit it out.
I don't want any part of this. You know, before it went bad.
Yeah. But a number of other Republicans didn't fare quite as well.
Yeah. And to be, you know, completely upright on this, Jim Greer didn't really go to prison. He went to a forestry camp.
I thought it was
over in Tampa. He went to a nice little posh, you know.
So it's like a minimum security institution. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Right. So, you know, let's.
I guess he found time to write a book about it.
Yeah.
Anyway,
All right, what they did to us, and there was a lot of, you know, stuff that went on in the local party where there's still people that were, you know, supposedly affiliated. They're still, you know, hanging around in some way, shape, or form.
In the meantime, Jeb is still sticking his foot in his mouth, going around talking about it. He's telling us now he's a doer, not a talker. And he's especially not a performer.
Well, he definitely showed that on Wednesday night.
Well, and I thought that his wife was overheard saying exactly that.
Really?
That he's not a performer.
Oh, geez.
Oh, no, no, wait a minute. Who put that down? What's that?
There you go. Going for the low blow, are you?
Oh, indeed. All right.
Oh, man.
Don't feel so bad, Jeff. We've all been there a time or two. All right. All right, but we will be back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. And we've got a whole lot more to talk about. And, of course, you're welcome to join us as well. And don't forget, A Taste in the Park. One.
The Demon Kane.
man,
I'm loving this wrestling thing we got going tonight, you know?
I love it.
I got to get in touch with B. Bryan. My grandsons would love to get a headshot or a body shot, an autograph by him.
Yeah, he's going to be on the show next week.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so we'll get that done. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That is Dr. K, Dr. Ken Vihek. If it's Friday, it's Dr. K Day here on the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. I'm Christopher Hart. Dr. Bernadette Vihek is also in the studio. If you don't believe me, all you got to do is go to YouTube and see. And tell them how they can do that, General Paris, please, sir.
Go to YouTube, type in Adversaries TV, and you will find our channel. Click on that. You'll see the newest videos at the top and the older ones in descending order from there. You can also type in Periscope. That's Periscope. And you'll also find our videos that way.
That's Periscope for General Lucas Paris, because he is a general in the American Adversaries Army. I have to salute him now, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, you know. He demands one of those things, so, you know.
That's right. He's a general. He deserves saluting.
Okay. I pay for the rank.
That's
right. I deserve
right.
the respect.
That's right. So, folks, we'd love to have you join the American Adversaries Army, too. And all you have to do is go to our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, and go to the recruiting office. And you can sign up right there. And it's really easy to do. For $5, you can be a recruit, and you'll get a great newsletter. We got another one coming out here in November. It's about time for you to write an article, Dr. K.
Write something, so I'll be more than happy to do that. Maybe I should do that on body posturing of debates and also the participants, and also, more importantly, the people that are there to be seen being at the debate.
I want to get to that here in just a second, but I just want to kind of quickly go through the day's news.
Alrighty.
Hillary is courting unenthusiastic black voters. She has.
You know, we'd get in trouble if we said that. I'm just trying to be fair, Al.
That's right. She's strutting her stuff with the black leaders, trying to get the black community enthusiastic about voting for her. You know, why wouldn't anybody be enthusiastic about voting for Hillary Perry?
You want the short list or you want the long list?
we only
got a half hour left.
We don't have time.
Yeah.
Poland is refusing to extradite Roman Polanski for the crimes that he admitted to here in Los Angeles when he had sex with an underage girl.
Oh, she was only 13. Age of consent
Hey, you know, if he was Muslim, it'd be all right.
Yeah, that's true. Well, no, it had to be a boy. Sorry, I said that out loud, didn't I?
Yeah, he could marry the little girl, but he'd have to have sex with the little boy.
Yep.
That's about the size of it.
Yep.
Hey, speaking of Muslims, a fourth Iranian-American has been arrested in Iran. Now, there are three that we know who are in custody. There is a gentleman by the name of, I believe it's Robert Levinson. I may be getting the first name wrong, but I know the last name is right, Levinson, who is a former FBI agent who's been missing in Iran for some time. But they don't claim to know what has happened to him. There have been three Americans that they have recognized that have been in custody in Iran. Well, now there's the fourth. And this guy is an Iranian-American. He's a businessman who had moved out of Iran and was living in Dubai, I believe, and was going back into Iran. And interestingly enough, part of what he wanted to do was get the sanctions lifted.
Okay.
So that he could do business legally with Iran, right?
Okay.
And he's been arrested over there, once again, I believe, on spying charges. And why is this significant? Well, obviously, because they're our newfound friends.
Of course, yes.
And yet they
have buds.
They did not release the other three, and now they're arresting another one. Plus, there was this little blurb. It was in Monday's Orlando Sentinel in the Nation and World part.
Was it spelt right?
Yeah, I doubt it. It's a two-paragraph story, and the headline is Iran assails U.S. for jail term in espionage case. It's about an Iranian-American by the name of Mozaffar Kazei, and he's a former employee of defense contractors, including Pratt & Whitney, who build jet engines.
Yeah.
And he pleaded guilty in February to violating the Arms Export Control Act. He was stealing materials and information related to jet engine programs and trying to transfer it to the Iranian government. And I believe what's going on with this latest Iranian arrest is this is sort of tit for tat.
Yeah.
You know, you've got one
you
of
go
our
ours,
guys.
We'll get one of yours.
Yeah, so now we're going to go arrest this.
Yeah, because the Iranian doesn't have any of our defectors that they can return to us in exchange.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah,
so but this, once again, remember, is our newfound friend.
Hmm.
Speaking of our newfound friends, I guess we have some newfound friends in Syria.
Oh, yeah.
Because we are going to put the boots on the ground that we were told we would never be putting on the ground in Syria.
Amazing
on the ground
how that
in Syria.
Happens.
Yeah.
Now, what concerns me about this, and this is a real concern, is, yeah, we're putting advisors, quote unquote,
right,
with boots on the ground in Syria. I would love to see what their rules of engagement are.
Oh, I'm
you know, and maybe we can talk
to see what
they
Colonel
are. McKnight and find out.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are their real rules of engagement going to be? Are we just sending them over there to be cannon fodder?
Well, here's part of my concern is 50. We're sending in 50.
Yeah.
Into this huge country, mm-hmm, relatively huge in that part of the world, and with a lot of bad guys everywhere. And we're sending in 50 guys.
Yeah.
Are they going to get the same protection
as
the four people
I mean.
In Benghazi got? Are they going to have the planes hovering above orbiting above who are ready to rescue them and with fire?
We're probably going to announce where they're going to be staying.
Well, they already kind of have.
Yeah.
And here's another thing. Putin's made it quite clear that the Russians are going after everybody who is against Assad.
Yep.
And these people that are 50 guys, presumably all guys, mm-hmm, maybe some men, women, are going to go in there to help, are going to be against Assad.
Yeah.
So we are now not just in a proxy war, but we're actually in a war with Russia.
Hmm.
Imagine that.
How's that happen?
How does that become doofusry?
Oh, gosh.
Leading from behind.
Yeah.
Leading with your behind.
I have never seen such incompetence in the commander in chief. I mean, I say
hopefully
that.
Hopefully it's incompetence.
No. I say that having served under Carter.
Yeah.
And I was so embarrassed to be in the military under Carter. But I don't know how our men and women serve under this president.
Yeah.
I just, you know, it's got to be sheer, you know, faith and allegiance to the country, not to him.
He was too busy being transparent. See,
he's too busy bowing to the king of Saudi Arabia.
He's been, for the last 10 months, scurrying around the White House, rounding up, you know, looking in this corner and that corner.
I like scurrying.
Looking in drawers and looking under the cushions and the couches and stuff, rounding up the classified State Department emails
that
the Benghazi committee has been requesting for 10 months. Mm-hmm. He couldn't be bothered with other stuff while he was fine because he wanted to be transparent.
Right. Oh, yeah. Most transparent administration in history.
Yeah. So just today, they have turned over thousands of pages more of classified White House memos and emails that the Benghazi.
You think they've been sanitized?
They only had 10 months to do it. I don't know how they could have got it done.
There's no time.
No.
There's
no.
Just not, you know, it's
no,
like
not 10 months.
30 days, you can't sanitize a nuclear site. You can always tell if there's been something there.
Yeah, that's right.
That's coming from somebody who used to do nuclear abatement, by the way.
Is that you? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, anyway, that's sort of a wrap-up of today's news. By the way, there's
goodness.
A new Reuters poll out, and it shows that Trump and Carson are in a dead heat and nobody else anywhere near them.
Mm-hmm.
Trump 29, Carson 27. In third place is Jeb with 9.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is prior to the past debate, so it's probably a moot point at this point.
That might not be a bad ticket, though. You ever think about that?
What's that?
Trump-Carson?
That's my ideal ticket.
I mean, well, you'd have to give those guys time in a room to talk, though, because Trump makes a decision instantly, and Carson takes a while to get to his point because it's so well thought out. You know, Trump would already be four or five decisions ahead of the vice president in those discussions.
To me, they both bring powerful talents that we need now.
Yes.
All right. You just mentioned Trump. Decision-making capabilities. I mean, the man knows how to make decisions, and he knows how to surround him with people who can get the job done.
Yeah. I loved it when he went right back after the moderator when he was saying about, you know, when I called and I made the deal. He was talking about the Iran deal. He says, the most horrible deal I've ever seen in anything.
Yeah.
You know, he said, you know, I'll show you how to do a deal. When they wanted 3 hours, I called him up. I said no. And Ben Carson got on board in 2 minutes. We turned it into 2 hours, and the moderator said it was always going to be 2 hours. He goes, that's a lie, and just jumped right back down in his throat.
Trump was right.
Yeah.
Trump was right. I mean, it was in the New York Times. There were many media outlets talking about how they were making it 3 hours, and it wasn't going to be because of Trump and Carson.
Right. Nope.
Yeah, and then I believe Carson, he's a healer. He's a healer by nature. And I believe that he could help this nation heal, and the fact that he's a black American. We have this huge, now gaping wound of a racial divide that has been ripped open again by the likes of Barack Hussein Obama and Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch and the Black Lives Matter and Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. You can go down the list.
Yep.
He would be able to do what they cannot do and what they do not want to do, and that is to actually heal the nation.
Right.
To me, that would be the dream ticket. And Ted Cruz, I would immediately appoint him attorney general if he would want the job. And as soon as the Supreme Court opening came up, I would appoint him to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And by the way, you don't have to have been a judge to be on the Supreme Court.
You don't have to be a lawyer.
That's right.
You don't have to be a lawyer.
That's exactly right. That's right. And if they don't
I look good in a black robe.
I was going to say, if they won't take him, I'd put in Dr. Ken V. Heck.
I've had a black robe on before. It's got those little three stripes on the arms, you know? A little funky-looking hat. I can do that job.
All right. When we come back, Dr. K is going to give us a little primer in body language and people who go to these debates.
It is so neat to watch these things, just to watch. The first time I watch it, you know, I turn the sound down and I just look at the people.
Yeah.
You know, and not just the people that are on the dais, because they're predictable.
Yeah.
You know how they're going to dress. You know how they're going to stance. They're going to posture themselves.
Right.
But look at the people when they pan the audience or go to the moderator and see the people that are sitting behind them and watch them primp and preem. It's hysterical. And then after the debate, who rushes to be on stage? Why? You know, it's neat.
All right. So we'll be talking about that with Dr. K when we come back. Once again, though, please help out the Jewish Pavilion and have a good time in the process. Take the whole family over to A Taste in the Park. A lot of stuff for the kids to do, a lot of great food for everybody to eat. It's a week from this Sunday. That's November the 8th. It'll be from 12 to 3 p.m. at the Maitland Civic Center. And the tickets in advance are $15 per person, $40 for a family of four, and there'll be $20 per person or $50 for the family of four at the door. And if you have a family of more than four, they're $5 for each additional child.
Yep.
A lot of great food. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you want to be a sponsor or a vendor, you got to get with Nancy Luden or the Jewish Pavilion right away. That's jewishpavilion.org. That's where you get the tickets, jewishpavilion.org, or call them at 407-678-9363, 407-678-9363.
We'll be right back. Please don't go away.
Yeah, Thriller. You know, I was one of the people that bought this album. I still love it.
Oh, it's
such an incredible album.
Absolutely.
You know? And it's so appropriate right now. The video he did, I don't know if you know the backstory on this. They had the contacts that they put in his eyes for that to make the animal eyes.
Yeah.
They could only shoot that video for like 15 minutes at a time, and then he had to take them out, rest for an hour, and then put them back in. So he was able to accomplish that in like three takes because he hated wearing the contacts.
I can imagine.
I mean, it's amazing that they put that something that intricate together in 45 minutes.
The greatest
worth of work.
Greatest music video I think ever shot.
It's awesome. And you know, and it runs for what, a good 7 minutes, the whole entire video.
Yeah.
Also,
you know?
One of the last vocal pieces of Vincent Price.
Vincent Price.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very important.
Oh, yeah. Vincent.
Yeah. Made him known to a whole new generation of people, Vincent Price.
And he went, you know, think of the catalog. You can go back now and watch of Vincent Price, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, the work that he did.
Amazing voice to him.
Oh, yeah, he does. Yeah.
Indeed. Indeed. All right, the time we have left. Tell us about you saw Paul Bunyan or somebody at the debate the other night?
Who?
The guy with the big hat.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I have no idea who this guy was. It was at the end of the debate. And after the candidates are all, you know, congratulating each other, talking about each other, and mingling around, the families come up on the stage. There was this guy that walked up. He looked like he was about 6'2", 6'3". He was 6'10" with the hat. But he was wearing, I swear to God, it looked like one of those Hoss Cartwright would wear.
Yeah.
The brim was so wide, it reminded me of the old hat you used to see outside of Arby's.
Yeah, the big, yeah.
The big, you know, cowboy hat. Big Stetson kind of, and it was immense. And he's wearing this long, dark tan leather coat, not a jacket, but an actual coat that goes down to about, say, mid-thigh.
Oh, okay. Oh, that wasn't Paul Bunyan. That was Buffalo Bill.
Buffalo Bill. Yeah.
Wild Bill Cody.
Wild Bill Cody. It was the exact kind of get-up. The only thing he was missing was the gloves.
So why do people want to be seen at
things
like this? Well,
you ask yourself this question. It's like, who is this guy? What's he doing on stage, and why is he dressed like that? You know, and I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that he was some bigwig in the Republican Party in the state of Colorado.
Yep.
You know, and he was there to represent the fact that Coloradans, you know, we support Republicans, and we're going to make no doubt about it because I'm going to be wearing my garb. You know, and he didn't have to say a word to get that across.
Yeah.
Because he said it through everything that he was wearing and his mannerisms, and I was also amazed at how many other the candidates went up to him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he wasn't doing the rounds, you know.
Right.
He was basically royalty on that stage after the debate.
He was the Pope.
Pretty much.
They would come up, you know, and kiss his ring.
Everybody was coming over, or they walked by, they'd, you know, wave at him or pat him on the back or something like that.
Yeah.
He raised the hand up. How you doing? It was, but you never saw him from the front. All you saw, they shot him from the back.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting.
You're right.
You know, I'm sitting there going, so why are they doing that? I know they've got more than one camera.
Yeah.
You know, why, if he's this, you know, why aren't they directing it, you know, so you can see who he is? But they just want to have him remain aloof and mysterious, I guess.
Right, right,
but
right.
That brings into, you know, question why I enjoy watching the debates. I don't like the questions. I don't like the answers because, you know, they're going to be rehearsed. They're pad answers and stuff like that. But if you look at the dynamics of the individuals who are at the debate just to watch the debate, I mean, I wouldn't go to sit and watch a debate. I couldn't do that.
Oh,
you know?
Man, they're great fun.
Yeah, but, you know, I just, no. I want to be able to go through the commercials, right. my VCR, my DVR, whatever.
Uh-huh.
But if you look at the people and how they act when all of a sudden they know the camera's on them, those are the ones that sit behind the moderators or that are with camera view,
right,
within camera view whenever a question's being asked.
Right.
And then you watch them start to primp and preen, position themselves and look interested, you know, you know, they lean towards it like they're going to be the ones asking the question. You know?
Right, right.
It's really neat to see the ego strokes that some of these people need to have. And it doesn't matter whether you're watching the Republican debate, whether you're watching the Democratic debate, you're going to have these people that want to be on the periphery of what they consider greatness.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they want to, you know, they're hangers on. They're in football, you know, I can't say that on the air, what we call them, but they like to be close to the athletes.
Right,
You know, they want to enter that world.
Sure.
Well, these people want to be on the edge of power, and they want to be seen as being in that position. And then especially the ones who get up on stage and then act like it's no big deal.
Right, right. Like they've been there before.
Oh, yeah. I'm up here all the time. You know,
right,
that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, but it's really interesting psychology to look at the way people interact with the other people after an event or during the event. I just really am into people watching at that point in time.
By the way, they're coming to town here in a couple of weeks, the candidates are for something called a Sunshine Forum, I believe it is.
Oh.
We'll have more information on this for you next week. But all the candidates will be in town. It will be open to the public. You will have to get tickets, though. And once again, we'll have more information as the time goes on. But I believe all of the candidates are going to be there with the exception of Ben Carson. To my knowledge, at this point, Ben Carson is going to be on a book signing at a book signing somewhere that weekend. But as I said, that's coming up here in a couple of weeks, and we'll be giving you more information on that next week. But it will be open to the public. And so we will all be able to go down there and hang out and be seen.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. I wouldn't mind doing that. And it's like one of the things I like to do is, you know, I like to be one of those psychologists that helps attorneys pick jurors.
Oh, yeah.
You know, based on the way they dress, the way they act, the way they answer the questions and stuff like that. Yeah. It'd be really interesting to watch people's reactions to what these people say to find out which way they're leaning for the candidates. You know, each one of these campaigns should have somebody like me, you know, to see what resonates with the voters and what doesn't.
Yeah, you'd be
just throwing it out there. I'm available.
One man focus group here.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, that's just about going to wrap it up for us for tonight. Once again, we hope you have a very happy and safe All Hallows Eve. So please enjoy that. Don't forget to join us on Sunday night for our show, and then of course all next week as well. And please go to Maitland Civic Center a week from Sunday. That's November the 8th. For the Taste in the Park for the Jewish Pavilion. And it's 12 to 3. You get your tickets at jewishpavilion.org or 407-678-9363. That's 407-678-9363, jewishpavilion.org. Going to be a lot of fun. I hate to do it to you, Nick, but let's do that rowdy. Do we still have that rowdy Roddy Piper thing in the can? Can we play that one more time as we go out here tonight instead of bumper music?
Yeah, because it's a good night tonight. You know, you got the third game of the World Series going on.
Yeah.
You know,
and this
night before Halloween.
This is a voice from the other side. Compliments.
Coming back at us.
Nostradamus.
One of the great voices.
This is from 1986, Rowdy Roddy Piper addressing an audience in New York about the Mets being down 0-2. Well, we'll try to get We lost it.
Sorry.
It's gone. It was here, and now it's gone.
There he is. Oh, we can look and see him anyway.
We were here, now we're gone.
That's it.
Night, everybody.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
News, opinion, passion. FM 105.5, AM 660. The Answer. WORL, Altamont Springs.